You're listening to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. I am your host, Erica Russo, psychic medium and intuitive development coach. This show is all about giving you the conversations, tools, and wisdom you need to live life the intuitive way. Whether you are waking up, wanting to develop your intuition and connection to spirit, or wanting to live a more magical life, I got you covered. I give you grounded, practical, and insightful content that helps you wake up, level up, and connect with your soul. I'm excited you're here. Let's wake up together. Hey guys, welcome to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I'm really excited that the universe led you here. If you are an OG and you keep coming back, you keep learning, growing, listening, learning to trust your intuition, living every day with intention, calling back your power, I love you. I fucking love you guys. You guys make this, I say this every episode, but it's true. You guys are making my dream come true. And I am so grateful for all of the support, all of the likes, all the follows, all the downloads, all of the reviews on iTunes. I do read every single one of them. And you guys, you know, I gotta be real. You guys get me a little emotional over here. I'm just so grateful for all of the support. If this podcast is helping you, if it's giving you some tools, ideas, tips, tricks that allow you to tap into your intuition, allow you to just be happier, just be more yourself. If you can head on over to iTunes and write a review, those reviews really help me get this podcast to the ears that need to hear it. But before you go ahead and click submit, make sure you send a screenshot or a photo or whatever to me at hello@ericarusso.co, no M, and I'm going to send you a thank you gift just for taking the time out of your busy life to support my small business and get this podcast to the ears that need to hear it. So with that being said, I am kind of feeling all of the nostalgia these days. I actually was going through my phone because I had to delete some photos because, you know, storage space was full, blah, 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 all of that shit. And I stumbled across a photo from 3 years ago, and it's just a picture of a bunch of coins. And I remember taking this photo. I remember the feeling that I had inside my heart when I took this photo, because this was the photo that was the start of this podcast. We have a 5-gallon container, empty water container, that we throw all of our extra change in. And I started this podcast by emptying that out to buy myself a microphone, to buy myself the intro music. And I'm just getting a little choked up, sorry. Oh, God. And I'm just really grateful that me trusting my intuition and starting this podcast has led me to where I am today. And it's just, it's really humbling. And I'm really fortunate, I'm really grateful for all of the support and everybody who has supported me along the way and just listens to the podcast. And I really hope that it's helping you. And I really hope that it maybe brings some laughter or joy into your day, because that's really what I want this to be. But yeah, I stumbled across this photo and it just brought so many memories and just remembering how just everything has evolved, not just with my podcast, but within my business, within my personal life, within just everything within these 3 years. It's been mind-blowing. You know, I think John Lennon said, life is what happens when you're too busy making other plans, or something along those lines. If I butchered it, John, I am really sorry, but it is very, very true. You know, you get so busy and you get so wrapped up trying to make the plans, and then you think that you're not going anywhere, and you think that you're stagnant, and you think that you're not growing. But then, you know, you wake up and you turn around and you see how far you've already come. And sometimes you need to give yourself that recognition. So I hope today allows you to
close your eyes, take a big deep breath, and I just want you to turn around and look at how far you've come in your life, in your spiritual development, your personal development, in your career, in your relationships, because you are not the same person that you were 3 years ago. You're probably not the same person that you were a year ago. So I ask you to give yourself some credit with that. With that being said, I am really, really super excited to be sharing this new series with you. I have teamed up with my dear friend, Meg Vanderkruik. She has actually been a guest on the podcast. Her episode was entitled Choose What You Consume. And we kind of had this beautiful think tank, and we came up with the idea because she is an incredible food blogger. If you aren't already following her, please do so. Her Instagram handle is This Mess Is Ours. Her website is thismessisours.com. We decided to team up for the year and give you an episode not only on this podcast, but on her YouTube video all about intention, bringing intention and intuition into the kitchen, that place that holds the heart of the home, the place where we really can't not be in the kitchen if you really think about it. Food is one of the necessities of human life. So what better way to bring intention and intuition into your day and into your life than none other but your kitchen? And each month, we're going to have some conversations. She's going to share some really incredible, easy, simple recipes. That was my only request. I wanted it to be simple because, homegirl, I don't like doing those long recipes, man. Like, that's, I like simple and I like delicious. And she is doing a phenomenal job at sharing some incredible recipes, not just on the podcast, but inside the Intuitive Life Society. She is one of the circle hosts, or should I say like event experts, where she actually hosts a cooking class each month, and it specializes in that zodiac sign. So we actually just had the Libra cooking class, which was so freaking cool. We've already been through Virgo as well as Leo, and everything is stored inside the member portal so you can access it at any given time. If you are interested in joining us, enrollment is open now. You can head on over to her podcast, or not her podcast, but her website or mine, and join. I mean, join. It's really incredible. On top of the intuitive cooking classes, we have yoga and movement classes, human design classes, astrology classes, psychic and mediumship development classes, and it's such a great group of amazing souls. It's so supportive. It's so beautiful. I'm so proud of it. And if this is saying to you, maybe you should join, come join. It's amazing. We have so much fun, and it's just beautiful. And I'm really super proud of it again. So with that being said, I'm really excited to be giving you a monthly series called Intention Kitchen with Meg Vanderkruik. If you are a visual learner, you can head over to her YouTube and watch there, or you can just listen here, but it's always going to be fun. We have so many amazing, incredible ideas in store for you. We can't wait to share them with you. We're already thinking of ideas for the June month. I'm just so excited for it. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I love you guys. I hope everyone's doing well, and I'll see you soon. All right, guys. I am really super stoked to be sharing with you this amazing episode. This is going to be a new segment for the Intuitive Souls podcast, and I am collaborating with my dear friend, Meg Vanderkruik from This Mess Is Ours.
Hi.
Hi. We are actually filming as well for her YouTube channel, so if you guys are visual learners, feel free. There is going to be a link in my podcast for you guys to head on over there, so you can come check us out on YouTube as well. But yeah, this is...
I'm really excited. We're both so excited. Uncharted territory. I mean, yes. we're recording a podcast, which I'm nervous about. That's not my world. And a YouTube episode at the same time. Mm-hmm. So anything could happen.
Yeah. I mean, thank God for technology, first off. Like, well, that's isn't that incredible? Right. Yeah. You're right. We know each other because of the podcast. So yeah.
I think this is just full circle
for me. And it's a little weird because I used to listen to your podcast before I knew you. I would listen to it on my commutes to school for my son. Mm-hmm. And at that point we lived like 30 minutes, one direction from school. So I had an hour commute twice a day. And I would just like, you know, read it and absorb or listen to it and absorb it. And I got through all of them and I was like, dang, what am I gonna do now? And then you were like, so I'm doing this beta program. Start coaching people, could do this whole thing. And I was like, I'm into that. It's almost winter, which is like, I was like, it's my slow season of the year. I didn't even know COVID was coming. That was how long ago. Yeah,
nobody knew. Nobody knew.
And then we just started like working together and I joined your society and it's just been kind of history ever since. We've even done a podcast episode together before, so.
We did. We spoke about choosing what you consume and you guys can definitely listen to that. But today it's about new. But today is about new beginnings. It's about new beginnings. We are so excited to be finally airing this because this has been an idea in the working since God, like May. It just kind of came up and we were just like, wow, that's a really good idea. And what we're calling this is Intention Kitchen.
Intention Kitchen. I really feel like, you know, I think most people can resonate with like the way the kitchen makes them feel during the holidays or during a special time for their family. Like it invites them in, it feels warm, it feels friendly, it feels, you know, just full of love. Or they can resonate, they can remember those feelings then and they can tie them to that. And I think that's because there's so much intention put into those meals. It's not the actual cooking. It's not the like place where you do it. It's the intention of the people preparing the meal. And I think that, you know, eating is one of the fundamental things we have to do to survive. I mean, we have to drink water, we have to breathe air, and we have to eat food. And, you know, we're feeding the people we love three times a day plus snacks. And it's a, you know, ton of opportunities to really take advantage of the action that you have to do anyway and infuse it with intention and good vibes, whatever you want to call it, and love.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And the goal to this podcast and just my goal in general for my life purpose is to help people live with intuition and intention. And I want spirituality and connecting to one's soul to be simple. I don't want it to be you have to sit on a meditation pillow for 8 hours a day and go to a Buddhist monastery, unless you want to, like, good for you, like, get down with your bad self. But there's so many simple acts within the kitchen that you can make a magical moment for yourself, whether that is infusing intention into your morning coffee, or like you said, honoring your ancestors with all of these delicious recipes that are passed down. And I love how you said, you know, Thanksgiving is a big thing. And I always end up in the kitchen for hours the day before Thanksgiving. I'm grinding the turkey and everything like that. And it's funny because it makes such a mess. And it just, it's so like, there's so many dishes afterwards and there's so many ingredients and, you know, your grocery list is always like double the price that it usually is. But that Wednesday, I actually look forward to it.
Yeah. You look forward to it all year. You know, you're going to do it, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be like a shit show for lack of a better term. Right. We're going to do and use every dish, every appliance, every knife, every fork, mm-hmm. every spoon, probably maybe twice. And then, you know, for some people, they're cooking for weeks. They're like cooking and freezing, batch cooking. And, you know, it's like, it is like this labor of love that they really do. They plan for months. And you don't have to do that for every meal of the year. But you can take little bits of that, little bits and pieces of you know, I don't even know what to call that process, that it's like a ritual we do really for the holidays or significant events through food in the kitchen. And you can take that and you can infuse it into your daily life. And I think if people really, even outside of the holiday realm of things, if you think about when people, they call it stress baking, they get like mm-hmm. really mad or really sad, or they're lonely. They want to, you know, they're far away from their family. They want to remember their mom. They bake this certain cake. Like, That's intention. It's not the recipe. Yes, the flavors bring back like a memory for you, the smell, the flavor, but it's like, it's more than that. There's like heart to it. So I really hope that through this, people can tap into the intention in the kitchen and learn about ingredients and look at them in a different way. And maybe get to learn their properties a little more. You know, I think we all kind of know what rosemary tastes like, but do you know what rosemary stands for? Like what it means to people, what it is known for, what its history is. Because I think that's equally as fascinating as the flavor. And when you take that one ingredient and you infuse it throughout your day and throughout your life, starting in your kitchen, but emanating throughout your home, it just gives it all new purpose, a whole new vibe.
It really does. And it just brings so much more respect, I want to say, to our gardens and to the herbs that are, you know, abundant around us and everything like that. You know, it wasn't, you know, just for example, like rosemary is my go-to. I have it everywhere. I have dried rosemary. I have two plants in my garden and I love it with chicken and everything like that. But the magical properties of it are just amazing too. And this is the reason why we wanted to come together is, again, we just want to help you live intentionally within your kitchen because we're in it anyway. Why not make it happier? Why not make it filled with the intention of love and protection and prosperity and all of those little things, because it's so simple. It really is.
And it's so important. I mean, a lot of the things that I do in the kitchen really train my brain. That's kind of, for lack of a better term, I think for a layman's term, I'm not one for, you know, sitting on the meditative pillow. I like a salt bath. I don't like to like guided meditations. I find them very frustrating. I do, however, like to zone out with some mindful mantras while doing the dishes because I have to do those anyway. And it's kind of like that space you go to, you just zone out, and before you know it, you've done the whole sink of dishes and you're like, oh, okay, next thing. But like, instead of zoning out, putting mindful thought into that, it's the same thing. But for my active brain, it's actually the only way that works that brings me to that connected space. And I think it's because I put so much intention in this room, in this one room in the house. Like, I think a lot of people, they put crystals everywhere and they put certain candles everywhere and they, like, you know, they decorate in certain ways because it makes them feel certain ways in different parts of their home and they forget about their kitchen. And I find that it's a really important place to bring in flowers from your garden, different colors, different flowers mean different things. They resonate different vibes, you know. Yellow makes me incredibly happy, but one of my really good friends, she's not her color and she like against it. So, you know, it's just like learning yourself and learning what these things mean to you, and how you can elevate your own experience in this integral room in your house.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. So, you know, because this is our first episode doing this, we want to talk about intention. Like, what are things, what are simple acts that we can do to bring intention into our every single day? And this is what I'm all about. I love simplicity. I mean, I do too. It's so easy. Like, it's so easy. And it's so simple. The first thing that we want to share is a cup of coffee meditation.
Oh, yeah.
Where we don't even have to do a meditation. We could do a mindful moment.
Yeah, it's, I think people can relate to the act of making coffee, or whether it's coffee or tea in the morning. I think there's a whole ritual to it. You have a certain way you do it. You have a certain way you like it, or your significant other makes it a certain way. I mean, maybe it is just push the button on the Keurig, but there's like a whole zone you're in where you're going there. You're looking forward to it. You know, it's going to wake you up. It's going to push you into that next level of your day. I love Abraham Hicks because they call it segment intending. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you really focus on, you know, what the next part of your day is going to look like, and you're going to give it a positive spin. And I like to take those moments of building the coffee in the morning. Like, I even tell my husband, I get frustrated if he gets up before me and does it, because I like to make his coffee for him and my espresso for me, because I like starting my day with the act of doing something for him because I want to, not because I have to, if that makes sense. Like, it's an act of love. It's a kickstart to his day. I used to be a barista. That's why I like coffee so much. But then you take, I think everybody can relate to the smell coming out of the coffee pot, that when it wafts through your nose and it hits you, whether it's coffee or a chai, there's just something that happens in your senses, mm-hmm. and it starts to wake you up, and your heart starts to beat a little faster, and your juices in your brain get moving. And next thing you know, like, you're vibing, and there's like a whole energy in your house, and you're sipping your coffee, and your day started. And you can take that time instead of kind of like mindlessly going through this ritual that you do every day, mm-hmm. day in, day out, all the days of the year. You yeah. can use it with intention just by a little simple mantra in the morning and thinking positive thoughts while you do it. And how you're, instead of thinking, oh, it's going to be like the busiest day ever, think, yeah, it's going to be busy, but you know what? I'm going to prove to myself I can do all these things, and I'm going to have a great day, and I'm going to have a great attitude, and people are going to be nice to me. Like, that's kind of, it may sound silly, but when you're doing it in your head, but as you spend days doing that, and you make it a practice, I think you find that, like, my attitude changed first, and then other people's attitude towards me changed second. Because I was just like sending out all these like super high vibe, like segment intending. I'm like, I'm going to have a great day. So I'm making everybody's coffee. We're going to be in good moods. Everybody loves one another. You know, we all get along. Yeah. Maybe you're right. having like some rough patches and you're like, we don't argue, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, segment
intending. Right. Segment intending. I think I've spoken about segment intending a couple of times because it's something that I do. It's something that I do every single day. It's just ingrained in me. But I also like how you said, like, listen, my intention is to make my cup of coffee and to start my day off on the right foot. And maybe you're in a crabby mood, but I'm still going to shine my freaking light and I'm still going to do my damn thing. And maybe it'll change your mood eventually. If not, it's okay.
Well, and I've heard you, and I think I've talked about too, I know we have in ILS, we've talked about, you know, starting your day with grateful thoughts. Like, you know, it could be just three grateful thoughts. I think even Oprah does this. You just, as soon as you wake up, you think of three things you're grateful for. And I do that, but then I just add the simple act of making my husband a pot of coffee, knowing that I don't drink the same kind of coffee he has. And he would drink what I drink, actually. He doesn't care. Like, he thinks it's so fussy. But for me, I'm like, no. It's like starting your day. It's so important. Like, you have to have the creamer you like. And like, he likes a little spice blend in his coffee. So I make, we have spice blend that goes in it. It's like a whole thing. And he's like, you know, it is really nice. I'm like, I know. I mean, for it to be nice. Yeah. I want you to wake up and go, oh, I feel loved. Because you are, you know.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's all good.
He's going to be like, why are you talking about me on the internet? Don't do that. Sorry. I don't want anymore.
It's all good, Tad.
Moving on.
Yeah. Something that I do, actually, and I love doing it, and it's a way that I bring intention into my day, is when my coffee is brewing, I'll take a tarot deck and I will choose the tarot card of the energy that I want for that day.
I really like that.
I like it.
That's really cool.
My son,
when he was homeschooling last year, he really didn't want to read, but he was really interested in tarot cards for whatever reason. The animal spirit deck, he thought that was really cool. So the way I could get him to read every day was like, you can pull three cards in the morning, but you have to look them up and you have to read like the description out loud while I have my coffee. And so we did that all last year, and he loves to read now, which is beautiful. He's like always walking around with a book, and I'm like, I have the tarot cards.
Thank you. Yeah.
I know, but, thank you.
Yeah, but I do. I really enjoy doing that. It's like my little, you know, I don't make my husband coffee, so we're not, hopefully he doesn't listen to this episode, because then he's going to be like, where's my coffee?
You do, well, other things.
I do other things.
I'm not saying everybody has to make their significant other. That's my thing. That's how I start my day. There's a million and one ways we wake up ourselves and our loved ones through our kitchen. We all pass through here. For some people, it could be like they have a smoothie and they make smoothies, you know, for the people who live, or they pre-pack smoothies because they're not going to be there. They make, you know, pre-pack. It doesn't matter. It's the act. So it's that selfless act of doing something because the person or the people in your life that share that space with you, that connect with you there every day through that room. You want to start their first trip through that room during the day with love and gratitude. Coffee, absolutely. Smoothie, glass of water with lemon in it. Don't matter. Mm-hmm. You do you.
Chocolate milk.
A big hug.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you. So I don't talk about this a lot, but I was previously married when I was younger. And that there's not a day that goes by that my husband, I get up at like 5 a.m. now with Todd. We'll wake up at 5 a.m. and he gets up at like 7 and he comes down and his first thing to do is stop and hug me. And we're almost always in the kitchen. Like he just hugs me. It's like just the thing that he does. But in that first marriage, there was no hugs. It was like passing ships in the morning. Like, ah, don't talk to me. But for me, it's like, that's what I need. You know, that's my pot of coffee is that big hug that I get when he comes into the kitchen in the mornings. So, yeah.
This is like a love letter to Todd.
I know, he's just sneaking through the room. I think he just turned purple. I'm sorry. And I don't know if you can hear it, but we have a deaf dog. Her name is Rebel. And she can't hear herself, but he left whatever room he was in. And so she's in the background going, ah! He's like, why are you talking about me? I gotta go. Why are you talking about me? I went, I'm not anymore. I love him. I do love him. But you know, I'm so grateful for that being his first act of the day for me is showing me that affection and showing me that he loves me. Because that was a part of my life in a period of my life that was lacking. And I didn't even realize it. It was just like, oh, another morning, another Monday. I got to go to work. I got to take a shower. And, you know, when you start your day like that, the whole day goes like that.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true.
If you make sure that when you walk out of your door, you are like high vibes and feeling good, like, you're already on top of the world.
Right. Segment intending.
I mean, if you can't find happiness in your own home, then we have a whole nother series of intention kitchens for you.
Right. And I think that this is something, you know, obviously happiness comes from within us. It doesn't come from our, you know, our spouses, our children, our dogs, or anything like that. It always starts with us. But the way I see it is, you know, kind of like a flower where, you know, we're at the core of it. Our happiness is at the core, the happiness within ourselves. But the petals are the people that are closest to us, the people in our home, the people that we sit next to at the kitchen table.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people consider happiness a destination, like somewhere they'll get to. You know, if they have this, they'll be happy. If they make this amount of money or they had that car or they married that person, then they'd be happy. And the key actually to having the things that you want is to be happy where you're at right now. And when you're happy where you're at right now, and you can find the things that you're grateful for, whether they're, you know, you have comfortable house shoes and you love those house shoes and you got the best cuddle blanket when you get home from work in the afternoons. You look forward to rolling up in that cuddle blanket and watching your favorite show. It doesn't have to be profound.
No.
You just have to be happy where you're at. And once you're happy where you're at, you actually will find yourself really surprised with the things that come in afterwards. Right. It's like unlocks this flow that sometimes is actually can be overwhelming because you're like, whoa, how did I get here? Like everyone's like, it's been a whole week. Nobody's being a jerk. Everybody's nice. Everybody, like, I feel like it's like, everything's like high vibes. This is cool. Buddy, it's you. That's the actual work that they talk about. Like I found that spirituality itself was hard for me to like wrap my head around. You know, and I needed like more of a layman's everyday kind of way to interject the core of that into my life. And really it's these simple mindsets that do that.
Yeah.
That make me feel like I'm more connected.
I love that. We're going to be talking about Abraham Hicks a lot. This segment.
We often go, I'm in the vortex.
because I was just going to say another teaching of Abraham Hicks is, you know, if you're in a crappy mood, if you are really down in that those low vibe moods, you don't look at it that you have to go up to the mountain to joy or bliss. Just go right to it to the next step. Yep. You know, instead of anger, believe it or not, blame is higher than anger on the vibrational level, right? So you're going from anger to blame. So at least you're starting to blame things and you're not holding on to anger, but just don't take baby steps. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing. Don't think that you have to go from anger to joy. That's outrageous. You know?
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen that way. And I actually find that too, like, you know, if you're in a frustrating period in a relationship with someone where you just, communication is strained. I mean, I'm a Libra, we're in Libra season right now, and we're all about balance. And so I think one of the themes of my life is trying to have these open lines of communication with people where I connect with them and they connect with me. And we kind of like have this even balance of how we both get along. Well, now I just lost it. Where'd my brain go? What were we talking about?
You were saying we were in Libra season and oh. Libras are about balance and.
It went right out my head.
Yeah.
That happens. What were we talking about before that?
I don't know.
I remember that there's a, so there, for anyone watching or listening, there's a camera up above Erica's face and I keep forgetting that that's where I'm supposed to look. And so my brain tapped into my flow and was like, hello, honey, not looking at the camera. You're looking at Eric. Sorry.
It's all good.
We're back. We'll find it. It'll come back. No, we were just talking about, you know, doing life with more intention. And we're going to be doing plenty of these. We have so many ideas, right?
We really do. I'm so excited. I mean, we literally went through and we have ideas up until next June, guys.
We do. Starting. And then we also have, I teach a cooking class inside your membership society. So I teach a monthly cooking class. Right now we're focusing on the Zodiac, kind of like you would the seasons, honestly, in the cooking world. Like when I think about as a recipe developer and a cook, I'm thinking about what's growing right now, what's being harvested right now. What's in abundance. And we're kind of looking at the Zodiac signs the same way. So like we just had one yesterday for Libra season, my birthday. And we focused on the heart chakra. We had a little, I always make an ebook for these and the whole color theme. I don't even know if the members notice, but the color theme matches the colors of the Zodiac sign. And it's just really like pulls from, like it's intuitively put together. There's and then there's a lot of intention behind it too. And then we just go through and we cook everything together. And so we made a blueberry banana baked oatmeal that's good for the heart and has a wonderful balance of flavor to represent that balance that we talked about. We made a DIY microwave kettle corn for that.
I'm making that today.
I'm so excited. I can't wait for you to try it. It's delicious. It's my favorite thing, really. It's pretty guilt-free because we use maple sugar in it, but I mean the membership, it's all in the membership, but so we cook together a lot now, I would say.
We do.
What we're trying to say. And every time we cook together, we come up with more ideas of things we could share in episodes like this. They're really simple and kind of no-brainer, but might just be the thing that you're like, oh my God, I look forward to that thing.
Yep.
You know.
I mean, I know. I'm looking forward to it. She shared so many. And my biggest thing was like, I remember when we were talking about it, I was like, all I ask is that I just want everything to be simple. Like, I don't want like an 8-hour kind of ordeal kind of thing. Like make it simple. Cause then people will try it.
Yeah. And I say every class in ILS and everything we're going to do here is going to be super basic and super simple. Things you could do kind of no brainers, no recipes really. But in ILS, we do get a little bit more involved. There's usually one super simple recipe, one spirit or self-care inspired recipe each season. And then one kind of more in-depth, that might take a little bit more skill, or you learn a new skill, you learn a new way to pair different ingredients by substituting things you like for something maybe you don't like. And so there, I think that there's something for cooks of all skill levels.
Yep.
But also there's nothing too hard. And we try to customize everything to everyone's eating preferences.
Yeah, you do. You definitely do. And it's so a lot. I've noticed that every single recipe that you've shared is like, you can make it your own.
Oh yeah. That's the point. I mean, look, the whole Intention Kitchen, intuitive lifestyle, like whatever it is, like it should be yours. You should own it. Mm-hmm. You know, there, if you're drawn to vanilla and raspberry, maybe you should look into those ingredients and what their properties are, what they mean. Why do they make you feel so comforted? But maybe you should be eating them, but maybe they don't make me feel the same way. I'm a blueberry and almond kind of girl. You know what I mean? Like it's just a different way to look at the ingredients that you use. And I do think that every recipe should be customizable if at all possible, because we don't all have the same flavor palettes.
We don't.
No.
We don't. We really do. I hate tomato. I hate it.
I don't like raw tomato at all. I think people will be surprised. I don't. I have to actually go out of my way to remove the seeds. Because that's the part that freaks me. I'm a textural person. I grow a lot of tomatoes because my husband's a vegetarian and he loves them. And I like to experiment with them, but I like to cook them and then I will eat them. But if they're raw, like don't give me a little cherry one. I'm going to have a bad day. I don't want to. No.
Like I love Mexican salsa, like restaurant style salsa. Mm-hmm, I love sauce, you know, like spaghetti sauce and everything like that. But if you put a tomato on my sandwich, my New York is going to come out like real
quick. That's me and pickles. That's me and dill pickles.
You don't-
we haven't had this story. Holy shit. I was traumatized by dill pickles as a child. I don't even like dill. And you know what's funny is like my daughter is like, she it comes near her too. She's like, no, we can't talk about that on this. I'll make too many weird noises on your
podcast.
Yeah. No, I feel how you feel about tomatoes. I feel how about a pickle. I will come at you. Do not put a Cornish on my sandwich. Girl's going to have a hard time. It comes out and I literally just start to shake. I'm like, no.
Oh my God.
Just tell me. Like, I like citrus pickled onions. I like, we made a fennel, like a citrus pickled fennel in the cooking class for Virgo season to go with the green goddess spread on the sandwiches. That recipe was in the ebook. I like that. I just don't like dill pickles, which is what most people.
I love dill pickles. My kid will literally take the whole jar. I know. Oh God, we have to stop talking about this because this is going to be on YouTube and it's podcast, to, well, and okay, we don't need so gagging. Okay.
20 something minutes in, you should go look at the faces that are coming out of this side of the screen because I can't even handle it. This is so gross. Can we talk about something that
let's talk about more intention in the kitchen and what better way than simmering potpourri.
Okay, so my birthday's tomorrow and I'm just gonna tell you I'm an older girl. I'm in my 40s. But when I was growing up in child of the 80s, simmering potpourri was a thing. It was like a jam. And was it a thing when you were growing up? Because you're younger than me.
No, honestly, I grew up in the 90s and it was the actual like bag of pine cones and all that crap put on the living room table. And well, then
that was a thing too. But I mean, I don't know. We may have just been poor. We were like rubbing nickels. But somewhere along the way, like simmering potpourri kind of fell out of the mainstream me, at least. And everybody started going into like the ways of the candles and whatever, which is nice. I have a candle going over here. But they can be really expensive. They do bring a vibe, but I find that you can infuse your entire house with a really incredible, unique to you scent, as well as one that's packed with intention. I mean, people could literally come to your house and be like, I just love the way your house feels. I mean, haven't you gone places where you're like, I walk in and it feels so cozy. I mean, think about if you walked in someone's house and they're baking bread or pastries with vanilla and cinnamon. that it's not just the aroma. It's not the flavor of the ingredients, the properties to it that make you feel that way. So you can actually create those in your own kitchen on your stovetop with just a little saucepan. It doesn't have to be a fancy one. And a few ingredients. So I'm going to show you one today for a home protection simmering pot.
Yes. And this is something, guys, like, not going to lie, my husband gets a little PO'd at me because I always have a simmering pot going. Always.
Yep. Me too. Okay. I'm spinning this way. I'm plugged in, so I don't want to make floor sound out. Okay. So this one, I always have them going too. So I think it's important to note, you can get a little, like an electric simmer pot. It's like a mini crock pot on Amazon. Those are great. If you are someone that tends to be a little forgetful, that might be a better option for you, because you might walk away from this. If you're like me, and you're in the kitchen all the time, or you don't have a problem with being forgetful, then absolutely do it this way. And keep it on your stove and just simmer it, and then keep an eye on it. Continue to add water as needed so it doesn't burn out and ruin the bottom of your pan or start a fire. That's the most important part. You don't want to start a fire with your intention setting simmering potpourri. That would be horrible.
It would be horrible.
Got a whole nother world of problems there. Okay. Yeah. So for the home protection potpourri that we're going to make today, I'm going to start with orange, and we're going to start with the peel of an orange. So you just want to take a vegetable peeler. If you don't want to have one of these, you can just slice it into rounds. But what happens when you do that is you don't get as much use out of the simmering potpourri. Like, cause it kind of, the pulp gunks it up, the seeds gunk it up, and then it's even harder. I'm going to tell you at the end, like, there's a super special way you can use this one. And you can't do it with that because it would have all the pulp and gross stuff in it. So just use a vegetable peeler and peel of one orange. And so oranges represent happiness and family. So this is why I put it in my home protection simmering pot.
And you know, I just wanted to say, just from my own personal experience, when you do shavings on a citrus, like I've done lemon and orange and everything like that, it's, you get so much more of a pungent smell than you do if you just chop it up, you know what I mean? Make it into little pieces and throw it into the simmering pot.
Exactly. So you probably have seen like cocktail chefs, you know, or people make cocktails. I can't even think of what they are right now because I don't know why. But chefs, they also use this technique. When you take the peel, all the essential oils for the orange are here. They're not here. This is actually a really bitter pith. So if you were to taste the white part, it would actually taste bitter on your tongue and not very good. But the essential oils are in here. And if I were to twist it this way and someone was here to light a little lighter, you would actually see sparks because the essential oils would like lick out and they would catch the flame. It's pretty cool. If you've ever seen a bartender do it, that's what they're a bartender. There's so many videos and lights. It's just a lot. But yeah, so this is going to be more pungent. It's actually going to help utilize, you know, this, you can use it longer, more times, more days.
Yeah.
And you know, then you can also use the rest of the orange to eat, which I am very pro using all of something and not wasting any of it. And if you put the whole thing in there, it's fine. But you do tend, you could eat it.
Yeah. That's what I started. And just, you just get a better smell. Just, especially with the citruses, if you only do the peel and then, you know, I'll just do the peel and then I'll use the lemon for my nightly tea, chamomile tea.
Ooh, I like it. My kids love to just juice an orange all day long. You know? And my husband will take it, like I could cut this up into segments, let my kids eat half and he'll put like half in a cocktail at night. That's his wind down thing. He's like, he likes like a margarita, but with real citrus, you know, but you don't use a whole citrus for that. So same thing. Okay. Ooh, let's talk about the next ingredient. You ready?
Tell me.
Bay leaves. I love bay leaves. So bay leaves are essential for this home protection simmering potpourri because they are the ingredient that brings protection. And what's really cool about this and what's an extra way to add some more intention into this is you can actually write little mantras on the back of your bay leaf. So this one says, my home is a safe space. This one says, we are loved. It's kind of silly, right? But it's just the intention that, I mean, it couldn't mm-hmm. hurt. Like my right. husband sometimes is like, what are you doing? Are you writing on that? I'm like, I am. And my inner child is lit up right now. Thank you yeah. very much. Writing notes on things that are going to simmer away into the steam that fills the air that makes it smell good. You know, let's see. What do you want me to pin there? We have, we are loved. My house is a safe space. What's one that you can pin up?
Oh gosh. We are abundant.
Ooh, I like that one. We are. Now you can use dried or fresh bay leaves. I actually grow fresh. I just didn't go up there and get it, but these are dried. Either works. Two or three. I really like the scent of them. So I went with three. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually, if you want to go a step further and get real into the intention, you can look into the intention of colors and you can change the color of the ink that you use on the bay leaf to even further, you know, everything yeah. that we do is really training our brain, right? We're mm-hmm. telling our brain we are safe. We're telling our brain we are loved, because if you can control that monkey mind, as you call it, mm-hmm. you can hear your heart and you can hear your soul. So really that's what this is. We're just training our brain. And every time we smell this aroma, we're going to think these things. We are abundant. We are loved. Yeah. We are safe. Those are nice things to think when you're walking through your house, or, you know, you hope that the people, when they come into your house, they actually will pick up on it because you put so much
mm-hmm. intention into your smell.
Yeah. Okay. So the next ingredient we're going to do, and I'm actually going to do ground because I just want to show people you don't need the whole spices for these, is we're going to go with ground cinnamon. I'm going to do about, I think I wrote down to do, let's see. I had to write all this stuff down. Sometimes I get so many ideas in my head for when we talk, we tend to ping off each other. Yeah. I just have to write them down. But it's 2 teaspoons, or I'm sorry, a half a teaspoon ground, or 2 whole cinnamon sticks, if mm-hmm. you would rather go with that. And then, so the cinnamon sticks for protection. And then there's also cloves in here. There's whole cloves, 8 of them. And they actually represent warding off the evil eye, which I think is pretty cool.
They do.
Yeah. Does everybody, I mean, I figure you talk about the evil eye a lot. I don't have to talk about that, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we don't have to talk about that. That's another episode.
No, that's another show. Anyway, if you're just trying to like bring some good vibes into your house and repel some like negative, leave that shit at the door. Mm-hmm. That's your friend. So then all you got to do is water to cover. And pro tip, or bonus, you can use any kind of water. I live on a well that taps into a spring, so that's the water I use. But if you are one of those people that makes moon water, or you collect storm water even, it's filled with more intention than just tap water. So
yes, it is.
You could harness that, whatever the energy of whatever moon is. You know, we talk about the blue moon, the pink moon, the super moon, the harvest moon, but what do they mean? I mean, we made sun tea, remember? Like,
we did.
And you can do the same thing. Like, I mean, there's so many ways to do this. But all you do, pop it on to the stove, bring it to a boil, and then immediately reduce it to a simmer as low as you can go. And then it can go all day, mm-hmm. all day. And when you're done, this is the really cool part. For this particular one, all about home protection. Normally, I would say when you're done and it's used up, don't throw it in the garbage. If you took all the time to research your ingredients, gather them, write messages on them, really pour the love into it, don't throw it in the garbage. Go outside, pour it under a tree, put it in the ground, let it go back to the earth. Or if you're doing one for home protection like this one, strain it and put it in a little spray container. And then you can actually use this on your doorways and windowsills and anywhere that you feel like you need an extra yeah. of protection from your kitchen.
Love that. I love it. And other protective herbs that I use for, you know, home protection simmering pots are rosemary, rue, if you do have it. Lavender is excellent. I even like lemon because it's for purification.
Yeah. And you can add like whole spices, like you could have in your kitchen. I wrote some down here today, cause I always just thought it would be interesting to share. So like cardamom has the power to like clear a busy mind. So if you feel like part of that protection element for you is calming down your racing mind, like you're so stressed out, like your external world, your work, your every boss is so crazy, you might want to put some cardamom pods or some ground cardamom in there and, you know, infuse that into your protection simmering pot too. Black peppercorns activate third eye. I don't know if you knew that. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
I didn't.
They are third eye activating. So they help open your mind to the spiritual realm. So why not use black peppercorns in everything? Just
maybe, you know, not too much. Maybe
just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just that's your intention though. You know what I mean? Like if your intention is to open up and to connect, maybe that's what you want to do. Star anise is another good one. It provides protection. Vanilla, if you have like vanilla extract, it actually has the ability to raise positive vibrations, which we talked about earlier when you go in somewhere and they're baked. That's why it has those spiritual properties, those, that intention behind it, you know, that's what it brings to the table as well as the flavor. And so that's why it has the power to move you in the way that it does. And, you know, there's a reason that Cinnabon screams to you from across
the world. And it's so interesting because when you said the power of vanilla, just the scent of the vanilla, first off, Cosmopolitan, when I was 18 years old, taught me that the scent of vanilla is actually like a stimulator for men.
Oh, I believe that.
And then Stu Leonard's in my area of the world, when you walk in, you will smell vanilla.
Really?
Because they literally have it on purpose. They pipe it on purpose because it's a very comforting smell.
It's supposed to invite in feelings of tranquility and comfort. You want to stay there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a place where staying there means spending money, like I'd pipe in vanilla. If I was in the business of people like hanging out and opening their wallets, I'd be like, let me make it smell like baked goods in here all day long.
Right.
Yeah. I bet no one that if someone listens to this and then they go somewhere in the next, you know, 3 to 6 months and they start noticing the smells. We went to a concert once for someone, for our daughter when she was in a preteen, and they piped in smells to the concert too. And I thought it was really interesting. It was like rose at one point and then wafting cologne and whatever. And I was like, what? That's
interesting.
That is a great, cause it's a whole new experience that you normally don't get, a sensual one.
Yeah.
That is really fun.
And I have noticed because I make a mean banana bread and my kids, it's like the staple in the house. Like people, when they walk in that door, they smell the vanilla that's, you know, in my recipe and they just light up. They don't even know. They know I make it because they only smell that smell when I make it.
Do you put cinnamon in there too?
Very little.
Very little. Well, any of it, cinnamon has properties of love and passion. So like in there, you're infusing it with your love and ingredients that have the properties of love. I mean, in this entire simmer pot that is now starting, I don't know if you can see it, it's starting to steam back there. I mean, it didn't take very long. I'm not even going to bring it all the way up to a boil before I cut it back down. But it was only a half a teaspoon.
Yeah, that's nothing.
That's about what you put in a recipe. That's a pretty potent amount. It's too soon.
Yeah.
So it may be a little in visually, but they're actually when they're ground. Yep. They're more potent. So it's one of those ingredients that actually less is more.
Cinnamon, like ground cinnamon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half a teaspoon is like almost like a stick. Yeah. Two sticks.
Yeah. I do. I've noticed too, cause I have cinnamon chips, I have cinnamon sticks, and then I have ground cinnamon. When I use the ground cinnamon, it's more potent.
Yeah. Everything's, you know, super concentrated in flavor. You know, a lot of times the spices are, you know, if you're talking about like a spice, like a cumin or something, it's not fresh, you know, like the plant is actually dried. And then if you actually take it a step further and say you were to toast the cumin seeds or toast the cinnamon stick, it even wakes it up more because the essential oils wake up and come to life with a little bit of heat. and they are release their aroma even more.
Well, there you go.
I don't know. That's all the things you can learn, all the different ways. See, this is like simmering right here. It smells so good. It smells really good. I wish I could like smell-o-vision you right now.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to put this on low so I don't burn out the bottom of my pan. But this is going to like make my entire house smell magical. Just yeah. For the rest of the day and probably tomorrow and the next day too, because I'm going to keep it going. Okay. What do you want to talk about next?
Let's go ahead. And since we already spoke about intentions in the morning and something we could do during the day, which is a simmer pot, what can we do at night to bring more intention in?
Ooh, let's make a sleepy time tea.
Let's make a sleepy time tea. I would love a sleepy time tea.
Okay. So I made a little quick recipe for a sleepy time tea, and you love lavender, right?
I do love lavender.
Good, good, good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Spinning this way. Let me turn my kettle on. So this is super simple. Lavender is an ingredient that is known for cleansing and purifying, but also calms you and lulls you to sleep and is known to help you have peaceful dreams. So we're going to put it in our sleepy time tea. Give you a little over there. And then we're actually going to use some honey to sweeten it. Honey is the nectar of the gods, and little bees are known for their work ethic. So we're going to put a little bit of that in there to sweeten it too, because I like it sweet. You can add as much honey as you want. If you don't like it sweet, you can just do lavender. And then we're going to do a little bit of lemon. And lemon is known for its properties for purification.
Yep.
So there we go.
You can also make lavender infused honey.
You can do that. And that would be really delicious. You could also change out the lavender flowers for chamomile flowers too, or a tea bag of either of those would be great. I just keep the flowers at all times for all sorts of different reasons, whether it be a simmer pot, or I like to bake with lavender. I like to put it in my blueberry muffins. I like to put it in my blueberry oatmeal sometimes. I know. I almost thought about it for our intention kitchen. I'm in the ILS cooking class yesterday when we made the blueberry vanilla oatmeal. And I was like, it might be an ingredient that not everybody has, but you can actually just put these flowers whole in baked goods. But they really are best friends with blueberries. Like,
that's good to know.
Love each other. A lot of times I'll make a simple syrup with this. I'll put like 2 or 3 tablespoons of these into a pot with a pint, like one of the small clamshell packages of blueberries, and then just turn the heat on and let it do its thing till all the berries burst. And it's this really thick, I'll strain it out, and it's really thick blueberry lavender syrup. And you can put it on anything, like ice cream, homemade
pancakes,
sparkling water,
waffles,
anything. Anything. You could eat it by the spoonful. I mean, it's that delicious.
It's probably even good with like a cocktail of some sort.
Oh, I have cocktail recipes with it on my site. You can go there. I love
thismessisours.com.
Thismessisours.com. I like, it's a lavender blueberry fizz that's on my site. And Sabrina, I think you're recording with Sabrina of Vigor and Sage in a few days for the podcast too. She actually, we have a video where I show how to make that syrup because it's so simple and I love it so much. And she's actually the person in it with me. She came over that day filming the video to sip on the blueberry lavender fizzes. So they have a little coconut rum in them. I love it.
Okay. I can dig it. I can like that.
I mean, I think it's a good thing. Okay. Let's see. How do I want to do this? I think I want to do it this way. I want to make sure that you see the process here. Okay. So you can absolutely drink 1 cup of this tea to go to drink, to sleep every night. Take it with you to bed. It's just 2 tablespoons of the lavender flowers. And we're going to add to it the boiling water up to like 1 cup. And then we're going to let it steep for a few minutes. But you can also take this and cool it down, and you can use it as a wash. You can use it as a wash if somebody's suffering from like a cold or bronchitis or something. It actually is really good rubbed on their chest, helps open everything up and relieve the symptoms. So it's not only just a tea. It actually has medicinal properties too. I think lavender, it's one of the few plants medicinally that's used to treat both children and adults, like pretty commonly. Like it's not, I don't think anybody's really worried about the properties of lavender that they would have effect on, different ages of people. So, but it also has been known to heal wounds, reduce fever. So it's kind of a magical plant, and it just smells heavenly. I mean,
it does.
It's so good. And you can get a huge bag of it. Like I don't have it in here, but you can get a huge bag of it, for relatively cheap and use it for all sorts of things. You can even put it in sachets in your drawers if you want.
I do that. Yep.
Lavender. It's so nice when you open up your bra drawer and it smells like lavender. Mm-hmm. Okay. One cup. So I'm just going to pour this in here and we're going to let it steep. This is just a little kettle, a little electric kettle. But you can boil water any way you boil water. Doesn't matter. I like that because I can pick the temperature. And then we're going to strain it. So
how much water did you put in?
Just put a cup, because you only need a cup of this to go to bed. Like one cup would put you to sleep. So I've got a cup of water, 2 tablespoons of the flowers, and we're just letting them do their thing. And we're going to let them do their thing for a couple minutes. And I'm going ahead and I'm putting the honey and lemon down into the little pot so they can kind of be marinating in there. I like when flavors all mix together, you know, and honey and lemon have a sore throat too. So if you're not feeling hot and you want to just kind of like chill out and relax and soothe your throat, this is kind of the way to go. What other ways while this is steeping do you use lavender?
Oh my God. So many ways. When I'm drinking cacao, it's either, crushed rose petals on top or lavender or both.
Okay.
And I definitely, because the way I make my cacao, I do it with agave syrup or maple syrup just to sweeten it. The lavender kind of brings almost like a savory pungent kind of feeling to the cacao. It's really nice. It's
I'm going to try that. I have some cacao. I've never tried it with lavender before, but I think that's really delicious. I love trying new flavors, especially when I learn like new profiles, like new, whether it's a flavor profile or, you know, a property of something, you know, like lavender is cleansing, purifying, it calms your dreams, it relieves stress, but it's also known for love. Like, you know, and it's like, when you think about an ingredient like that and you think about it outside of the smell that it already brings to you and the flavor that you know it's going to bring, it like opens you up to so many more ideas too. Cause I don't know that I would have put cacao and lavender together, but I get it. Like I do like lavender and chocolate. I've had that, but for whatever reason, I just would not have paired those two.
Lavender itself, just as a gardener, I'm not as avid as gardener as you, but it's really hard to grow, believe it or not, or start from seed.
Yeah, it's harder to start from seed. I've had some successes. I've had some definite failures that I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? I can't even get this to grow. But I have one little plant that just comes back every year, you know, and, but you'll keep trying. That's the other thing I will say about plants is sometimes, you know, they're really intuitive creatures themselves. We don't give the plant world props. So to speak, but you know, plants, they've done studies where, you know, they'll talk to a plant only negatively in one room, and then they'll only talk positively to another plant in another room, and the plant that had positive communication would thrive, and the plant with only negative things said to it would dwindle and would start to die, even though they had the same care, same soil, same sunlight, same everything. So plants, just like us, are just intuitive beings, just on a different level. And I would say that if you're having trouble growing something, maybe that's a sign to you that you should look into maybe why. And that's why I garden. So I used to have the blackest thumb of all the black thumbs. It was a joke to everyone I know when I started growing things. Like literally my husband was like, please don't even water the houseplants. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. And one day some girl, like a friend of my son, not some girl, she is a dear friend now, but I didn't know her really well at the time, but she had some extra seedlings. And it was right at the beginning of COVID, I believe. And she was like, do you want these seeds? They're extras. And I started them and maybe you could grow them. And I was like, aren't you funny? And no. And she was like, no, really. And my daughter had just graduated high school and left home in the middle of the pandemic. So I was kind of like going through something. And I just went, all right, I need something to do. And I sat out there and I tended those plants that first year on my porch. And now we have 16 garden beds, like 8x4 and a greenhouse. Like it turned into a total obsession because I realized it quantified my love of food, understanding seed to plate, where it comes from, how it grows. But then it opened me up to a whole new realm of understanding the properties of plants. And I found the more I learned about them, the more they unlocked their potential for me. So things I couldn't grow before, I'm able to grow. And some things I like struggle with, but I'm dedicated to learning more about those plants and to unlock that level of green thumb status. It's like a real life video game.
I love that. I love my herbs and everything. I do. I enjoy having my little herb garden.
Your and sunflower everything. Was magnificent.
It was. It was. It was beautiful. I was very proud of it. Oh man, I'm just guys. If you're listening to the podcast right now, I'm seeing her strain this, and it is the most beautiful color.
So the tea takes on the color of the lavender flowers just after a few minutes, and it smells incredible. The lemon's in there. It's this really beautiful mixture of like a purpley pink almost. Mm-hmm. And you don't get this from a tea bag always, but you always get this from the flowers. And so if you buy, for whatever purposes that you do, if you just go ahead and buy food grade lavender, that's all you need. And you can have one of these every night. And I don't know, I just feel cute sipping something pink before I go to bed.
It's so pretty. Like I have lavender tea, but I never had it like that. It's always been in a tea bag and I've never seen that color.
Yeah, this is, once you start using the flowers, you could do this with chamomile flowers too. It's going to be a really beautiful, like kind of like tonal yellow tea. And then other ingredients, there's like butterfly peas, plants that turn blue. So there's all sorts of different ways to explore the ingredients. And I think through color too, like if you think about what this color means to you, you know, there's another way that you can resonate with intention with tea. You know, just as I was pouring it, I was watching your eyes and you're like, oh, like, I was like, I know you're telling them they should see this, but they should see your eyeballs.
It's just so pretty. And it's a very, like, for me, I'm just like, so it's like a very comforting color.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you go somewhere and they give you something like just really beautiful, like served beautifully, a beautiful tea or beautiful coffee or a beautiful cocktail, you just feel special. And taking something like this to bed every night feels really super special. I like a clear cup too. Like going down. I think that for me adds to it, especially with something like this for the tea, where the color is also super soothing.
Yeah. So pretty. Cheers.
And the flavor is really bright this way and super intense. So if you think of like other lavender teas you might have and you're like, oh, only a cup, like I can drink. It's super strong this way. Like when you drink it, you're like, ooh, I'll get flat lavender. And that's because there's a lot in there to make a super concentrated tea to put your butt to bed.
Yeah. That's something I learned. I had chamomile like 2 years ago, like fresh chamomile. So I made tea with it.
Yeah, that's the other thing I will say. So while this recipe works for me, I actually, if we were to like leave from here, which we will soon, I would probably go hit this with maybe some vanilla because it's earlier in the day. If I wanted to take a nap, I might hit it with vanilla anyway, because I like that. Or I might actually sweeten it up a little bit more and like things on the sweeter side. But my husband's a savory guy and he would have this on the savory side. But this is why this particular recipe is also really good. It's like a chest rub because it's super concentrated. Like the longer you steep this, the more intense this is. So with your chamomile flowers, same thing. if somebody makes this and they're like, oh God, I don't like it. I don't like that's super, super bold. You may have just steeped it a little too long.
Oh, I did something wrong. I did something wrong because it was just not enjoyable. And we have, I think we also have to remember that it's like, they're two different things, like having a fresh tea with fresh lavender that's never been inside of a bag is a completely different thing than one, even if it's an organic bag.
Yeah. And I will say, like, if you're going for, so like where we're using like 1.5-2 tablespoons of the dried flowers, like if you were using like fresh flowers, you would even use like more than that because these are concentrated.
Gotcha.
Like, got these at the store. So the chamomile you have is concentrated. So when I make a chamomile tea from chamomile in my garden, I might fill it up way high. And for me as a food photographer, that's actually a really beautiful picture. I've done it. I love that picture. It recirculates on my social media at least once a year. It's my favorite thing. I will say that the flavors are also a lot more intense. So this is one of those things that if you're a tea lover, it's on the scale of, I'm a very big tea lover. It's not like I like a little bitty sip of tea with a whole bunch of milk and sweetener and stuff. This is like, it is a tea with purpose. And I bet your chamomile tea was one too. And there's ways to make those palatable for you. You just have to be willing to play with it. Don't stop.
Yeah.
That's where I think a lot of people get, they go, oh, I don't like that. That didn't work. Just didn't work that one time. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Start over. That's part of the joy of living.
try again.
I mean, it's learning, evolving, growing. And, you know, in the kitchen, those steps, like, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to fall down and you just get back up and you start back over. It's not a big deal. Spilled milk, who cares? Like, don't like this batch. Okay, can I change it with something I do like that vanilla or that, you know, more of that honey? Maybe I steep it last time and I'll use this for like a spray for my car, or not, maybe not your car because it'll make you sleepy, but a spray at night, like a linen spray or something. If you leave the honey out, you could do that with just like the lavender water in there. And then just play around with it. You know, there's a million other purposes for this. You could simmer pot it at night too. If you just didn't like the flavor, if you made it and you were like, I'm going to play with this 10 different ways and you have tons of this left over, simmer pot it in the evening and make your whole house smell nice and cozy and put your kids to bed. Yeah.
If it only was that easy.
Hey, I mean, I don't know. Have you tried the lavender simmer pot?
I have lavender in my simmer pot all the time.
But an only lavender.
No. No, I actually never done an only lavender simmer pot, but you know, I was one of those that diluted the lavender oil and put it on the bottoms of their feet and never really got them tired. It got them to sit down, but
I think too, like, it's really important to remember that there are memories and feelings associated with timing. So where that cinnamon scent might be great for waking you up, it might not be great for going to bed. And where that lavender might be great for winding down, it might not actually put you out, but it's like that signifier, right? To your scent. Oh, okay. It's time to calm down. You smell that cinnamon. You're like, okay, it's time to wake up.
I'm gonna Very eat true.
But it's as much like what the aroma and the flavor says to your body. And to your senses. And to me, lavender is the ultimate. All right. We're going into a new segment, for lack of a better term.
Segment of the day.
Last segment of the day. Let's set it with intention. Let's make some sleepy time tea. And then let's, you know, create our own special sleepy time tea blend. Maybe yours is less lavender flowers, maybe more lemon. Doesn't matter. Can't do it wrong. Specific to you, but I would love to know if somebody tries it and comes up with something they think is really great. They could comment it on your podcast and we could see it.
Yeah. Or Or just tag us on Instastore stories. That's the best way for us to see, tag us. Her, Meg's handle is This Mess Is Ours. It's going to be in the show notes. And mine is Intuitive Lifestyle Co. So guys, go in the kitchen, create a simmer pot, tag us. We want to see it. If you fell in love with the mixture of your simmer pot and we didn't, you know, maybe it's with an ingredient we didn't share, let us know. We'd love to know.
Something that you do every day that's like a ritual in your house, a ritual in your kitchen that makes you feel more connected to yourself and the people you love. I'd love to hear that too, because I mean, sharing is caring. Right.
So true. It's so true. This was so much fun,
Meg. I love this. I'm already excited for next month.
I know. I'm already excited for like next month, the month after that.
There's some delicious things coming. And I will say, I was all day long, I was thinking about Brené Brown, and her first podcast episode ever was called FFT, Fucking First Times. And I was like, today, Erica and I are both having an FFT with this thing. I don't know what's going to happen, but let's just do it and not, you know.
Yeah.
See where
taking messy inspired action, and we're so happy to be doing this. If you guys are interested in joining us in the Intuitive Life Society and having a monthly cooking class inspired by the zodiac sign with Meg, enrollment's open now. You can head on over to her website to sign up. We also have, oh my god, what else do we have in this, in the membership? So much. Yes. Yoga and movement classes,
yoga and movement design, human design, astrology, like actual proper astrology, where my cooking class is more based off the seasons. Just we're using, like, we're not going like spring, summer, winter, fall. We're going, oh, okay, we're in labor season now. There, you actually have Hannah, who's a really great astrologer. And then we have, you'd even do business coaching classes every month for your people that are, I love those. I am what do they call? I'm also a member. Sign me up for those. Yeah. There's so many, there's soul sessions, there's psychic and mediumship classes, if that's your jam, if you're into those things. But I don't even think you have to be even into those things to be a part of the membership, because there's so many other things. Like, I mean, there's even a self-defense class coming.
There is a self-defense class coming, and I'm so stoked for it.
Oh, I can't wait. How to kick some butt if I need to.
Yeah, we are just, it's a really incredible membership. And again, enrollment is open now. You can head on over to This Mess Is Ours, and the link to sign up is in her bio. Meg, it's always a pleasure. I can't wait for November. I don't want to give away too much, but what's the theme of November?
Ooh, thankfulness. Is it thankful? I have it in my book.
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Where did I get that wrong? I'm sorry. Go back. We talked about a lot of things. Here it is.
We did.
Gratitude.
Right. Gratitude.
Also, right. December, I do know that one. Giving.
Yes.
And we have so many. I sent you a message about that this morning.
You did. I think I liked it. Didn't I give you like the thumbs up?
You did. I did. I'm just saying, we're already working on that one.
Yeah, we're already working on it, guys. We have so much in store. We are so happy that you are here. It's always a pleasure. We will see you next month. I'll see you guys next week, and have a great, great time, great life, whatever it is. And be sure, if you guys are
in your kitchen.
Yeah. But yes, put intention in your kitchen. If you are a visual learner, if you want to see us and my eyes bug out open, be sure to head on over to This Mess Is Ours YouTube video, because this is also streaming on YouTube. I will see you guys soon. Have a great week.